So we ask, if a child cannot remember his mother's face, does he still taste her milk? Does he remember the waters inside her? Can you answer those questions? No, and neither can we. Yet, we remind you that many children commence within women, and thus, this is why it is completely fine that we begin with a boy. And so we proceed. The boy named Miko. The boy lived on our land, here, in a creek village that was between the wider lands straddling the rivers of the Okmulgee and Ogeechee near the Oconee River, which crawled through the middle. Though Miko had playmates among the children of his village, he was an unhappy little boy, for he felt the tugging of three sets of hands. Whenever this tugging began, he felt confused and miserable. There were the hands of his father, a Scottish deerskin trader named Dylan Cornell. They were the hands of his mother, Nayla, a Creek woman who belonged to a clan of the highest status in their village, the Wind Clan. The little boy's parents were yet alive, but the hands that pulled at him the strongest were of a man who probably was dead, though no one knew for sure. They were the hands of his mother's father, a man who appeared one day in the village. This was in the years after 1733 and the arrival of James Oglethorpe and his ship of petty English criminals, what he called his worthy poor. They were those who had been sentenced to death or hard labor for the stealing of an apple or a loaf of bread or some other trifling thing. When Oglethorpe came to our land, he thought he found a comrade in Tomachichi, the leader of the Yamacraw people, another tribe of our land. Yet Oglethorpe had not made a friend. Tomachichi had not made a friend either. He'd only encountered a pragmatic white man determined to set anchor and build a colony for his English king. Tomachichi had seen white men before, so he was interested in trade, which was a long-standing commerce. There had been Englishmen moving along the paths, going north and south and east and west, for more than 100 years. Though Tomachichi was a wise leader and probably smelled greed on Oglethorpe, he had no idea of what would follow. Sin. For the original transgression of this land was not slavery. It was greed, and it could not be contained. More white men would come and begin to covet, and they would drag along the Africans they had enslaved. The white men would sow their misery among those who shook their chains. These white men would whip and work and demean these Africans. They would sell their children and split up families. And these white men, brought by Oglethorpe, these men who had been oppressed in their own land by their own king, forgot the misery that they had left behind, the poverty, the uncertainty. And they resurrected this misery and passed it on to the Africans. And now we reach back even further. The grandfather of the boy. The young man who would become the grandfather of Miko was perhaps 18 or 19 when he appeared next to the tall mound that marked the entrance of the place in the middle of the tall trees. The young man was barefoot, and his soles were thickened and rough. His gray-colored shirt and pants were wrinkled, and even to those who were standing far away, his garments gave off the smell of mildew, which made sense, because when someone asked him in English how he had arrived at their village, he only told them that he had been walking when he'd arrived at a river. Then he'd found that he was hungry. So he had tried to seize a catfish at the edge of the water, but had fallen into the river. He talked with his hands, making wide gestures and animated facial expressions, even more so when he described falling into the river, and the villagers laughed. Yet he did not want to offend. He laughed along with them. "Where do you come from?" an elder of the village asked. "Over there." The young man pointed vaguely. He smiled some more, and when the elder asked another question, where was he headed, the young man said he meant to go south. Truly, the elder